You all look so good from here. If you watch the Super Bowl later today, please don't look for Pastor Jason's face in the camera there somewhere. And Erica, they're not at the Super Bowl. They're in Guatemala. And they're down there with a team. And he'll be back next week to finish the series that he started. And this last message is kind of unique, the name. It says, Tomorrow Matters. And remember, our pastor's name is Jason Matters. And I miss him. And I'm honored that he would ask me to fill in for him while he's there. And he's on his way back tomorrow. My mother arrived in Houston yesterday, and she's 94 years old. She's headed back to the mission field in Honduras, where I grew up. And she says, there is so many people at the airport. The airport is full. There's cars everywhere. We barely almost didn't even get a rental car. It's full of people here. And she says, what's this Super Bowl? Super Bowl. I says, your mom, remember when you used to make rice and you put it in a big bowl like that? Okay, that's Super Bowl. And all those little rice things are souls. And they're all watching a air ball in the middle. And she didn't get what Super Bowl was, but the young lady that takes care of her and goes travels with her, because she is legally blind, is with her. She still preaches down there and runs a, she has a school of about 145 kids that live there year-round with her, and she is the boss still. And she's headed down there. My brother's going to fly her down on the 8th, which is Wednesday. And all that said, we're here. Let us pray. Father, I pray today for your word. Father, please bless your servant. And Father, may the people hear your word. And may you, O God, speak to us. We need you to speak to us, Lord. We're here because of you, O Father. You're a wonderful God. We bless this time in the name of Jesus. Amen. The title to my message is Radical Christian Living. And I want to talk to you about something that happened after I was saved. I'd been saved for a while, and then I got radicalized. Now, you hear that in the news. But my radicalized doesn't do bad to anybody. Okay? My radicalized changed my life totally. I'm radicalized. It changed my getting offended over little things. You know, it comes pretty close to not being totally radicalized when somebody passes me and makes a sign at me on the road. But I'm still radicalized because I start counting to 10. Oh, God, make the radicalized come out. He's radicalized me. And it makes my relationships in my family totally different. It makes my relationship with everyone. See, I needed this radicalization in my life, because I remember I was already a pastor, and I remember praying to God, and I said, God, I've been married 12 years now, and oh, God, I'm not sure I love my wife. And how can I be up front? And then God radicalized me. Oh, and it's a new love. We're going on 35 years coming up. And I love her more today than the day we got married. And she loves me too. And we have 10 grandkids. And my love for my grandkids is radicalized. It's something that will change the motives. It'll change the expression. You'll get up in the morning, and because my life is radicalized, I check, I have a pulse, I get out of bed. Even if my knees and my legs say, ow. Because I have something to live for. See, when I'm radicalized, I'm not living in the past. I'm not living in those beautiful dreams I was having while I was sleeping. I'm living in reality with a supernatural power because I'm radicalized. And I want to share that with you today. And I want you to go to the book of 1 John, not the Gospel of John. This is 1 John. See, 1 John was written maybe 50 to 60 years when the church had been around since the book of Acts. 50, 60 years later, there's some problems that picked up. There were some theologians, some philosophies, some ideas that were incorporating the church that weren't good. So, good John. I think he's one of the only ones still alive of the disciples, the apostles. He says, I'm going to have to write a letter. And he wants to go visit them, too, and really set things straight, but we don't have a record of that. But he writes this letter, and he talks about a problem that's happening. See, those philosophers and that said, our natural, our body is one thing, and the spirit is another. So as long as I don't sin in the spirit, I'm still doing good. But if I sin in the body is just going to stay here, it's going to die, and it's separate. So that led to immorality in the church. But God didn't say that. The faith we believe is we are one. And so kind of believing, see, I'll give it to you this way. I can say, I love you in the Lord, brother. Oh, I love you in the Lord. But I really don't like you. And I won't greet you. See, it's so easy to say by words, I love you. It's so easy to, this is the love month, right? That's why I picked this topic. Because the world is throwing something else at us. It's throwing a conditional love at us. And God wants it to be his kind of love. Now I want you to go with me to the third chapter of 1 John. If I could have, I'd have read the whole book this morning. Verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Think about that. That's what I call meditating on the word. You read it. How great is that love? It says, verse 6, let's just go different spots this service. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or know him. Well, that's a powerful verse. Go down to verse 10 down there. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Verse 11, this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Jump over to verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. This is the word of God, okay? Verse 16. This is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words and tongue, but with actions and in truth. Verse 23. And this is his command. I like that word, command, okay? To believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey this command live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Wow. Christian love. It's a lifestyle. It can be summed up, the lifestyle of us Christians is love. with holiness. But if we really love, we're not going to try to hurt anyone. We're not going to do something bad to someone. Remember, Jesus summed it up into two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And number two is, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's so easy to love God, whom we haven't seen. But if it wasn't for all the people around me, I'd just be so full of love. See, you're not all like me, and I'm not like you. But God says the way I show my love to him is to love you. And when I got that, it radicalized me. It's a way of life that when I see a drunk walking down the street, I have compassion. I have love. Because the same God who died on Calvary for me died for him. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. And all of a sudden, he doesn't smell bad because of the love of Christ. Love is more than words and feelings. Love may cost me life itself. It cost Jesus his life on Calvary. Sacrificial love is another little definition to it. See, love is a verb, not an emotion. A behavior, not an emotion. C.S. Lewis, who, I don't like quoting people, but us Nazarenes like C.S. Lewis. He said, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Vulnerability leaves our defenses down. Now, this is when we live in a society and in a world that we've been taught, you got to set all these boundaries and protect yourself. And the Word of God doesn't say that. He is our defender. See, I'm going to tell you something about love. Love hurts more than physical pain. Sometimes it really does. I'd rather they slap me or hit me than reject me. I like something Tennyson says. He says, it is better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. See, us humans, and I want to get to this point, what I'm trying to get to is, us humans have our greatest learning task. The hardest thing for us to learn is how to love and to receive love. It's hard for us to learn how to love and to receive love. That's one of the hardest things for us because we're so self-centered. So we don't know how to love and receive love. Think about this. The love we give away is sometimes the only love we keep. See, here's one that I really admire this person. He said, love is not only something you feel, it's something you do. Have you ever heard of David Wilkerson? He said that. Out of his whole book, that's the only part I remember. See, my feelings will follow the decision. My feelings will follow what I do. But if I wait for my feelings to come, my feelings change and go up and down every day. See, I'm going to tell you a little story of how much we need love. It's in the Bible. There was these two girls, young girls. One was Leah and one was Rachel. And to their home came this guy named Jacob. Handsome, tricky guy. One of those little bit wild card guys. And, oh, he fell in love with Rachel because she was the cute one. She's the younger sister. So he goes to her dad and he says, what would it take for me to have Rachel to be my wife? The dad's trickier than him, and he says, you work for me 7 years, and you can have Rachel. You know, when we're in love, we'd do almost anything. We'll even steal flowers. Oh, no, 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 you guys have never done that, especially from the cemetery. But this guy works for 7 years. He works for 7 years, and comes the wedding night, and, you know, back in the Palestinians, they wrap the head, the face like this, you know, and the wedding happens, and they don't pick up the veil like we do. They leave the veil there, and they go off to their honeymoon night. And in the morning, Jacob wakes up, and he doesn't have Rachel. He has her older sister, Leah, the homely one. And so he goes back to his father-in-law and he says, hey, what gives here? And so he says, what do I need so I can get Rachel? Read my lips, Rachel. I don't know if he did that. That's a little ad-lib. And the father-in-law is tricky again. He says, you work 7 more years and I'll give you Rachel. And so he worked 7 more years. Now, that part is the story I've heard over and over again. But when I was thinking about love, I thought of something else. I thought of Leah. Here is Leah. She's married to a man who doesn't love her. And in that culture, she can't get rid of him and he can't get rid of her. They're married. And every day, she hears that husband of hers saying, oh, just 3 more years and I have Rachel. Could you imagine the need that she had of love? And it's the need we all have of unconditional love. We need that love from our mate. We need that love from another person. We need it, and she doesn't get it. And then she gets pregnant. And she has a son, and his name is Reuben. My oldest son's name is Reuben. And it says, behold the son. And she says, I brought you a son. See, in that culture, to have a boy would say, the name is going to go on. And so she brings him this son, and she thinks, maybe he'll love me now. No. So she has another son. His name is Simeon. And the Word of God says that she was looking for love with her husband. And man, she's a good Jewish woman, she's bearing sons. To them, that was important. And then she has another son, and his name is Levi. Not the kind you wear. Levi. And she's just desperate. She brought him 3 boys, and now he's hanging out with Rachel, loving on Rachel. She can't get pregnant. And she doesn't know what to do. She's starving. She's starving of love. At least 5, 6, 7 years have gone by, and this husband of hers doesn't love her. Let me tell you, men, love your wife. Don't be a Jacob. When women know that they are loved unconditionally, oh, they're so beautiful and so different. And we've learned from Hollywood and all the rest of the garbage to do the wrong thing. But the Word of God teaches us. It says, love her as your own body. And do like Christ and be willing to give your life for her. That's in Ephesians. So let's go on with this story. Then she has a fourth son, and his name is what? His fourth son, his name is Judah. The lights came on. The lights came on, and she realizes that the love of her life is God, and he's given her this son. And Judah, who's Jesus come through? Through the line of Judah. Judah's the blessing from God. And all of a sudden, she's glowing because hey, who cares if my husband don't love me? Jesus loves me. God loves me. He has approved of me. Here, I've got the fourth one. And she's kind of rubbing it into her little sister. Little sister does something so weird. This is all in the Bible. The little sister gives her maid to Jacob, and you go have a baby for me so that he will be happy with me, because I can't have babies. There's some really weird stuff in the Bible. I'm glad that God didn't take part of it out and leave part of it in. He gave us the whole book. And so Leah's life turns around. Let me tell you something about what radicalized me. When I realized how much God loves me, and I look up towards heaven and I says, I'm your beloved. You love me. I remember my daughter got a Bible, and instead of putting her name, Stephanie, on the front, it says, beloved. I says, oh, she got it too. When you realize how much God loves you, your life changes. And then you're not afraid to express love. See, all of us need this love. We need love so bad that we go to movies and we watch a movie, and these actors are falling in love. They're fakes. They're actors. And that's not our life. That's theirs. Oh, yes, but, oh, man, some of them are good. Have you ever seen the Hallmark Channel? You just sit there in front of the TV and, It's better than a date with your honey. Wrong. God wants us to be real. He doesn't want us caught up in some soap opera. See, if the majority of your relationships are on social media, and you have all these friends on Facebook, and you have all these other social media friends, and that's all you have, you're hurting. Just hug that little cell phone and go, oh, it's Facebook. I need a hug right now. I'm feeling sick. Would you take my temperature? Hey, we become a society that we've taken a falseness. We've taken something that isn't. You can watch that preacher on social media, and he's not going to come and pray for you at the hospital. I will. See, we need to realize the truth, because sometimes love, it means something a lot more than just a feeling. See, I want to know that I mean something and I'm worth something to someone in this world. Let me tell you. You're worth something to Christ, and we're worth something to one another. See, I want someone to love me not for my body, but for my soul. My daughter was visiting Honduras with her husband. They were down in Latin America for about 8 months, learning the culture there, because she's a child and family therapist. And she thought it'd be good to know other cultures. And my son-in-law is there helping the lady at my mother's house wash dishes, and the lady knows a little bit of English, and she says to my son-in-law, what do you love about Stephanie? And he says, oh, I know that. I love her soul. And the lady says, she says her mouth dropped open. It's not the way you dress. It's not the face you put on. See, that's the kind of love, the love of my soul. That's why we have that term, soulmates. But it goes deeper than that. We need more than just Cupid's arrow with the poison or the honey on it. Valentine's Day is coming up, and don't forget it, guys. We need Jesus Christ and his kind of love. See, we need the Holy Spirit guiding us and teaching us how to love, and correcting us and showing us. You know, to be known is our deepest fear, because maybe we think if people really knew us, they won't love us. And let me tell you, Jesus Christ, in the most intense time and moment of my life, when he knew everything about me, both right then and the future, he loved me and saved me. I couldn't hide anything. I could turn the lights off right now, and Jesus can still see in everybody's heart. And let me tell you, he loves you. And because he loves you, I love you. And only he is the judge. I'm here to love you, my brother, my sister. See, it's about sharing our vulnerability, and in the midst of it, feeling loved unconditionally. See, in this life, I want to be so open, transparent. I want to make sure I give more love than I receive. Every Christian is that way. See, I want to love first and not wait till I'm loved. The reason is Christ loved me first while I was still a sinner and poured out his love upon me. I want to be the first one to go ask forgiveness, not wait till, if they don't ask, if they don't come down kneeling. No, I gotta forgive them. I learned from Jesus what he said, something on the cross, and let me tell you, this little nugget helps me so much. When he looked out there and they've got him crucified, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I say that when someone offends me, they say something mean, they treat me bad, I just say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know how I feel right now, but you do. Forgive them, God. Give me that forgiveness. Give me that love, that unconditional love that comes from Jesus." See, this is the way I'm going to fulfill my calling from Christ. It's not to wait till I'm loved, but to love. See, we're born in a self-centered way of thinking. We think our sinful nature says, "You love me first and I'll love you. You give me first and I'll give you." And Jesus said, "Give unto those who can't give back to you." He had a contradictory way of thinking. See, when I accept Jesus Christ, it changes the direction that I live in. It changes, it takes away my shyness. I'm a very shy person. You see me always talking to people now? That wasn't the Lauren before. The Lauren before would pee my pants instead of asking where the bathroom was. In a whole room of people that could have told me where it's at. But then Christ came and he makes it change. Let me just give you an example of the love of Christ. I got a call this week from a lady named Martha, that she was on the farm out here and she had a broken tooth. It broke in two and it was paining her. You know, the nerves are all exposed and stuff. And I get a call, and I remember I'm in the midst of doing something, but I go out to the farm, pick her up, take her over to Dr. Giuseppe's, and Dr. Giuseppe takes her in, even though she wasn't on the schedule. And he has to do surgery to take those roots out and all that stuff. Well, while he had his hands in her mouth, I had my mouth in her ear, and I'm telling her about Jesus. She's got to listen to me. She can't get out of that chair. And then she wants to know how much she owes, and he says nothing. And I take her back, drop her at the farm. I says, "Yeah, he loves Jesus too, just like I do." And took her back to the farm and forgot about it. In a few days, she calls and she says, "I'm going to go to another farm. I got to go down to California to do the olives. And so do those stitches have to come out or not?" And I go, So I called the dentist. They said, "No, they just disappear." Good. And I kind of just left it there. Because she made this little commitment to Christ, but I didn't get a chance to to disciple her or baptize her or any of the following things that we good Nazarenes do. She calls me this last week and she says, I finally found your phone number. It's been over 5 years. And I found your phone. I live in Yakima. I live in Wapato, and I want to call and thank you. She says, I want to thank you for Jesus. She says, my husband, myself, my children, my grandchildren, we're all Christians today because you showed me love. It's that simple. See, that's what I say. I'm radicalized for it. I didn't care if she's going to reject me because I told her about Jesus. I just told her about him. And then God did the miracle. She says, I live over here in Wapato, and I wrote her phone number down. And even though she has a California cell phone, I have a Wapato. She says, I want you to know that you have a house here in Wapato. Whenever you go through here, Pastor, you stay with us. And I'm going, you got another place to retire. See, this love I'm talking about is practical. You know, we can't do like they were doing in the early church where they were spiritualizing it all. It's something I know that my mother has always drove me insane with. She gives me advice I don't want. I say, Mama, I'm praying about such and such. She says, Son, put feet to your prayers. Do something about it. Give them a gift. Go do something good for them. And I said, Mama, I'm just praying. I got lots of faith. Hello. It's just like, you know, telling your wife, you know, oh, I think about you. I'm not going to tell you what I think, but I'm thinking about you. You really don't want to commit how wonderful you think she is because she may take advantage of you. No. Put feet to your prayer. Let's love with the love of Christ. It starts in our home. It starts in every relationship. It starts the way I love everyone. And some people rub me the wrong way, and I just need more love from God. Because the more I give out the love, the more he gives me. And it's in every morning, I have to take up my cross, and I have to follow Christ. I got to put away my vision of everything being my way and say, God, I want it your way. And I got to keep my eyes on the cross of Jesus and say, God, help me reflect you and let it be right here with the people that know me the best, like Pastor Scott. I love Pastor Scott. We got some Spanish youth that are coming, you know. And the reason I brought them in for Pastor Scott is because I didn't know what to do with them. They're in purgatory. So now if you want to volunteer to show God's love, okay, and you got, maybe you're already doing something, that's good, but you want to do more. You don't want to spend time watching Hallmark and that. You want to be in the real love, okay? And you can come, you can volunteer to help him. You can be like this one brother here at the church that makes cookies and passes them out for the youth. And I even come. He actually makes the cookies, and he hands them out. I get in line with the youth, even though I'm not allowed to be one of Pastor Scott's youth. But the cookies are delicious. And the kids that come, Scott, let me tell you, they feel love here. I'm bringing in some kids that don't have a father at home. And this church is I'm talking to the choir, because you guys do it. This church is so full of love. You come in through the door, and someone lovingly greets you. And if they didn't, come and talk to me. I'll give you that hug. See, we live out the love of Christ. It's something that will radicalize my children, my life. I've never been so fulfilled in life. You know, I'm not thinking about the past. I'm thinking about the future, because tomorrow there's even more love, more people to meet, more people to give what God has given me. We need to share this agape love. See, it's when we share this love that we start seeing miracles. And let me tell you, Jesus said, they're going to know you by your love. not by your doctrines, not by the pretty church, not by your denomination, not by how much we jump and dance like some churches do, but by our love, real love. And if you want the definition of love, there's a whole bunch in the Bible. But right now I came to talk to you about one kind of love that covers all the rest. And that's agape love. Unconditional love that comes from God. How do I show it? How do we let this go? Now, this is February, okay? And I'm praying for a revival in love in every relationship, in every marriage that is hurting. See, start loving that person, and the problems, the things that you think you can fix, leave them to God. He's got a miracle in store. We got some marriages in our church that are hurting right now because we're looking at the world's love. And the world's love many times spells divorce. But God's love is a love that redeems, that puts things back together that are broken, that brings a forgiveness that is greater than ourselves. Even though only God can forget some things, we can't. But we have forgiveness. And every day, we need to live out the love of Christ. Are you with me on this? This is what radicalized me. And now, as a form of solidarity, that I just want to say, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, that's the beginning of that love. Worship team, please come down. Because right now is the time. I've presented God's word. And now is the time when I want God to do his miracle. I want God to touch every person that wants to feel his love and receive his love. I want every one of us today to decide we're going to love. Love is a decision, and our feelings follow afterwards. And we love because he, this morning, in his word, commanded us to love. Actually, he went a little bit further. He said, if we don't love, we don't belong to him. That's pretty rough. But I'm talking to the choir because I know the majority of us here have been radicalized. Not like the radicalized people you see on TV. We're radicalized to do something good to everyone we meet. We'll love the sinner and not the sin. And in the love of God, we can separate the two. Would you please stand with me? Do you believe this morning in that? I want you to repeat a prayer with me. And I want us all to repeat the prayer, even if you're a Christian already. And if you repeat this prayer this morning and you're accepting Jesus Christ, let me tell you, something's going to happen in your life. And God's going to allow you to do things you never thought you could do. Please repeat with me. God, creator of heaven and earth. God of the Bible. Thank you for Jesus Christ, your only Son. Thank you for showing me how much you, God, love me. I am sorry and repent from all my sins. I understand how you love me by Jesus dying for me. Thank you for the sacrifice of your loved Son Jesus and his blood washing away my sins. Now I know that God loves me. Jesus is now my hero. I want to live in your love. Jesus is my example. Show me to love everyone. Fill me with your spirit and save me. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a new song today. First time we sing it in our church here. Listen to the words. Listen to the words. Father, I just heard your Holy Spirit speak to us through that song. Father, I call that the magic moment. Father, thank you for the miracle you're doing in our lives. Father, we've been in your presence and we're not going to go the way we came in. But Father, I pray for everyone here that the love of the Father shown to us through Jesus the Son would be something so practical, so easy to do that we can just give it out in purity and goodness, oh God, that many and many will come to know Jesus. I pray the Holy Spirit be on everyone. God, bless these people, Father. And God, may they leave this place not in their own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, with a new look on how they're going to love and how they're going to live and how we're going to obey you. Father, empower us, I pray. Father, there's some big needs represented here today in all our lives. And God, only you are God. And you're the God who says that nothing is impossible for you. Father, show us your way. Go with us, I pray. Oh, may the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you, people. Go in grace. Love in the love of the Lord. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. If you accepted Jesus today, just come and talk to Pastor Don. He's here in front. We're going to love you. We're going to love the socks off of you. Okay? God bless you.